We're back to the Neil Haley Show and also the Media Giant Effect. And I'm first excited to welcome the program author, celebrity author, Paul Hollis, author of the Hollow Man series. Paul, how are you? And I know you're excited about our guest. I am too. And this is the first time ever, even though I've had, you know, I've had people sing on my show, but I never saw the awards right there. He knows what he's doing. Aren't you excited, Paul?
I am very excited. Yeah.
All right, so I have David Milburn,
everything about
Emmy Award winner, three-time Emmy Award winner, and we can see it right there. You're not lying about it, right? There it is, David. Right, David Milburn. How are you, David?
I'm very grateful. Thank you for having me there. Really,
absolutely. So look at those Emmys. Now, did you ever, when you started out in your career, think that you would be an Emmy Award winning?
You know, as a little boy, I always watched those award shows and thought, oh, my God, you know, it was a situation where I would try to manifest. You know, I'd try to say, yes, I will be there one day. I will be there one day. And, you know, I'm very grateful to have been there. So I thank you for pointing those out.
So how did it start your career?
I was a kid actor doing commercials for McDonald's. I was the counter boy for Glasses to Go. Do you remember that? Where you would get a soda and you got the glass and you got.
You're talking about like Grimace and all those?
Yeah, that was mine. Yeah. Glasses to Go. McDonald's has McDonald and Glasses to Go. Get the mayor, Big Mac, and even Ronald. A different glass every week at McDonald's. That was
awesome, David. Do you still have that on YouTube or stuff? Your commercial?
I don't know. It was so long ago. But from that point, I did their next campaign. I did. Remember when they had Swirl ice cream and you got to keep the glass bowl? So they called it Sunday Smile, and I was a Sunday Smile for them. So, you know, my dad was a drummer, and when kids came along, he had to quit drumming and you know, get a career that paid more money. And he always said to me, David, you're making this great money with these campaigns and everything. Why don't you give it everything you got? And he said to me, I don't want you to end up 40 years old thinking, what if I would have given it everything I got? So I did not end up 40 years old wondering if I had ever given it everything I got, because I am out there. I've been there. This has been my career.
So tell me specifically highlights of your career. Would you say are the ones that people would know you most?
Well, I'll tell you, my first film, Slumber Party Massacre, was a Roger Corman film, and it became a cult favorite, two sequels. And still to this day, I sign autographs. I go to these conventions and I sign autographs of people. You know, I was 15 years old. I, you know, this was so long ago that I marvel that I get to meet these fans, that somehow this film made such an impact on them. And I remember when they were honoring Roger Corman at the Academy a few years ago, I was there for another thing. And I was going over to Roger's table. I was going to say, you know, Roger, hey, David Milburn. He goes, before I got that out, he goes, David Milburn, Slumber Party Massacre. He's 83 years old, or was at the time. He's older now. And I was just so honored, because then he put me in his second film called Sorceress, which we shot down in Mexico City at Churubusco Studios. And that time, every day in the commissary, we were next to Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they were shooting the first Conan the Barbarian at the time. But you know, from there, you know, I played Lance Hurd on General Hospital. I played John Stamos's best friend. I moved into nighttime television, and then came along Movie of the Weeks, and I played everyone's good husband and bad husband. You know, Past Obsessions, an Accidental Christmas, which Cynthia Gibb was my wife. A Fatal Reunion, Erica Laniak was my wife. You know, I've really run the gamut. And then sci-fi and ABC Family. I've just been a journeyman actor, guys. That's what I've been.
But working actor, it's a good deal, right?
Well, it is a good deal. And I learned how to storytell, and I learned how to fix bad scripts, and I learned how to to be even better with great actors opposite me. I was in Gods and Monsters, which won an Academy Award. I played Sir Ian McKellen's doctor in that. I was nominated for 3 Academy Awards and won one for the director, Bill Condon. And I just feel that I've been grateful. I've been grateful and lucky, and but it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. And when I moved into, I haven't really moved into, I'm still an actor, but I started writing, I started producing, I started directing. And when people say, well, do you miss acting? Well, acting's an amazing craft. Studied with Lee Strasberg, graduated from Northwestern. My parents were really behind me in getting my training. But when I look at producing, when you look at a film that you've produced, it's like, oh yeah, I selected the composer, I hired the director, I made the script changes there, you know, I had the final say on the edit. So when you look at a film that you've produced, you think, wow, I'm all over this place. As opposed to when you're an actor, sure, you've got your role and you try right. to expand it and make it impactful and layer the character. But still, you're at the mercy of the director, the producer, the editor. But when you produce, you're all over that screen, which is kind of fun. It's kind of fun.
And so then we'll talk about that with the Emmys. But Paul, what question you have so far for David about acting?
Oh my gosh. David, I've seen you in so many things. You cannot believe it. Awesome. I don't really have a question for you. I'm just amazed at your talent and looking at you here in person, you know, sort of thing. It's like, I appreciate that, you know, so.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you, Paul. I change my look in everything I do because that's part of my thing. I just feel that you've got to really, I did a film down in New Zealand called In Her Line of Fire opposite Mariel Hemingway. And the director said, you know, I don't see you as a psychotic Marine. I just don't see you. So I go, give me 6 weeks. I see a jarhead cut. I see fats. I'm going to bulk up. And we got down to New Zealand. I did my first take running through the jungle with this, you know, this gun. And I could feel the director just saying, oh, I got my psychotic Marine, you know, kind of thing. But it's fun. It's fun.
Great.
It's definitely fun. So let's talk about how the Emmys, how did that all happen? What, tell us the stories.
Well, one of my big, you know, and it's all over the news now. And I know, Neil, that you support this too, the social bullying, the social media that brings about the bullying.
And, yes.
The hatred of young people. And we didn't grow up with social media, so we don't know how to handle it. So I got involved with a show called Girls Voices Now, where we give cameras to underrepresented little girls, 13 through 18, and we match them with female mentors who look like them. And I say, go tell your stories. Go tell us what your life is like. Well, they come back with these amazing, heartfelt stories that we have no idea what they're going through. So I put them together in a series called Girls Voices Now. And last year we beat Sesame Street and Apple TV Plus and you know, Disney and these little girls. And I bought all the little girls Emmys. I bought Emmys for every one of them because they're their stories. But before the telecast, I remember a little Mehran, and she was a Muslim girl, and her little short was about wearing a hijab and how she was bullied and laughed at, made fun of. But she knew the religious reasons why she was wearing the hijab. And she said, David, my story doesn't matter. It's so personal. I go, Mehran, the more personal a story is, the more universal it is. We all have something like a hijab. We all have that. So when we won, she just broke down and cried. And she said, I didn't even want to go on camera. See, the more personal a story is, the more universal it is. My next season now is one of the shorts is about generational trauma. I know Robert Downey Jr. just did a documentary about he and his father. This is about an Hispanic family. Do you guys know what period poverty is?
Tell me about.
I'm learning from these girls. Period poverty is that your family is so poor, you cannot afford feminine hygiene products.
Oh, no. Wow.
Right? They're going into 13, 14, 15, 16. They tell such heartfelt stories that at the end of our shooting season, we give them certificates and we have a premiere of 200, 300 of their friends. And if these young women don't, they don't even have anybody listening to them in their lives, let alone at our premiere where we show the films and all their families and all their friends are there. They realize we give them certificates and those smiles will stay with you for a long time.
So I love this work you're doing, David. I did not familiar. And then we're going to go into 100 Years of Men because again, this is Valentine's Day. We're going to talk about that, but I'm blown away. We need to collaborate. The Media Giant and David Milburn are going to collaborate to end cyberbullying because they're not doing enough. It's great to know we're going to, and I love Harlan. So we're going to definitely have to have another communique because that's a goal. I'm about to be partnering with an organization called PASS that's involved in security, but they to keep their kids safe, PASS K through 12, they create guidelines, but they have nothing, not tons of things on cyberbullying yet. And we need to get that going because we need to protect our kids in schools.
They're cutting themselves. They're attempting suicide. They look at their photos and say, "How can I ever look like that?" And might as well just end it now. Let's do it.
All right. Let's talk about 100 Years of Men. Go into
My latest project is something that really extends into my childhood. When I was growing up in Indiana, I came across this tintype. Two handsome young gentlemen sitting next to each other and their legs are crossed to each other and their shoulders are touching. They're holding a little placard that says Bourbon Fair 1908. And I said to my mom and dad, I said, what is this old tintype? Who are these people? Oh, David, that's your great, 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 great uncle and his friends. Well, the picture, the tintype always held such wonderment for me because I didn't know about it. And my dad was born in Bourbon, Indiana in 1926. So speed ahead, I find Neil Treadwell and Hugh Nini's collection of 3,700 other pictures. Wow. Look just like this.
Oh my goodness.
Bingo. That's the reason why I wanted this project. I called them up. I'd already won an Emmy by that time. And I said, you know, I'm David Milburn. I think that your collection would make an amazing documentary. So they said, here are the 3,700 pictures. My editor, Billy Clift, and I went through and culled the TV special down to 350 photos. We realized that these gentlemen were way beyond their time. They were expressing their feelings and their love for each other when it was not cool to do so, when they could be in prison, when they could lose their livelihoods. They were going into photo booths and closing the curtain and being alone. Well, why photo booths? Well, there was no photographer. There's no developer. Those photos are spit out and they can be kept. These photos, some of them were pristine as if they were up on a mantle. Others were folded up and creased and put into wallets and hidden away. But what we do realize is these gentlemen paved the way. We stand on their shoulders as we are able to love freely nowadays. But these gentlemen showed us the way through imagery. Through positive imagery that love matters. Their love mattered then. Their love matters now, thanks to this TV special, because we're getting it out there for folks to see that love is love. And we should feel, you know, they always say we should ignite other people's torches to go on. Well, if you pass on the torch, you're left in the dark. Well, those of us in the media have a responsibility to not only ignite, but keep our torch and keep our voices going, but let other young people also know that there were LGBT couples back in 1859 to 1959. We cover 100 years of Men in Love in this TV special.
That's great. And tell us when the TV special is going to air.
Oh, well, it's on Here TV, HERE.TV. Here TV is covered, is carried on all cable and satellite systems throughout the United States and also every streaming service. So just go to here.tv HERE.TV to find out and see it.
That's fantastic, David. And other projects you have going on right now? Anything else?
I'm writing a kickboxer film right now. It's important to provide positive role images for our LGBT audiences, you know, for them to watch a film and say, you know what, the hero is not gay in my film. He just happens to be a kickboxer champion and a kickboxer who's fighting evil. But our audiences will know that, you know what, an LGBTQ person can be a hero in a film, can be the cause for good in the world. So that's important imagery. And HERE TV provides that. They are so into authenticity to provide positive role images to our LGBTQ community.
All right, Paul, tell your story really quickly for David about you and why you wrote your book series. Go ahead.
Had the opportunity, let's say, to travel in Europe as a young man in the 70s. And I actually tracked terrorists in those days. And for one of the government three-digit numerals. I was on the ground. But what they didn't tell me was that I was wearing a red shirt like a Star Trek character. Yeah, that I was very expendable. But I didn't see it that way. But it's really all about the action that I saw, and the three books are almost nonstop action and probably 80% to 90% true. Was not really a Jack Ryan, Jason Bourne kind of a character, because I did get my hand almost cut off in a knife fight, but that's
that makes part you of, human, part that of makes the story. Human, which is relatable. That's great.
Right.
Yeah. So you wrote books on this with a different character. So tell the key film, Paul. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a series of three books. I'm actually writing the fourth one now. They're all number one bestsellers, and people seem to like them when they read them. The characters I've made the environment, the locations into characters, basically, you know, so if you're in Paris, you really feel like you're in Paris and this sort of thing. So that's what I'm working on and looking forward to meeting people who can get us sort of located and situated into understanding that maybe it would make a good screenplay sort of thing. Yeah.
Sounds lovely, you know, and you've already done the hard part. You've put the characters on the page. You know, if they don't, there's an old adage: if it ain't on the page, it ain't on the stage. So right. If you've got some bestsellers, shop them around and dream big.
That's what I've told Paul. He's going to dream big and he's going to make it happen. David, best place people can go check you out. Where can we go?
Most of my work is done with HERE TV, so it's right there. I wrote a series called Falling for Angels, directed it, wrote a series and directed a series called Now What? And my acting career is out there. Like Paul says, you know, keep watching for me. Yeah. You won't recognize me because I slip into my characters, but I'm out there. But I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, David. Take care, guys. Yeah. All right, thank you're listening you, and watching The Neil Haley Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.